Amen. Good morning. It is so good to be at church. As I was driving here this morning, I don't know what it is. It was one of those mornings where I realized where I was driving to. And it hit me again that I have been made part of the fellowship of the unashamed. That I am part of the kingdom of God, His eternal family. And as long as I hang on, as long as I remain faithful, that I will see Jesus one day. I don't know about you, that's enough for me. But we have a sermon for you this morning. Last week we started off with a series called Simple Prayer. And I don't know about you and what your relationship with prayer is. I know for me, I grew up in a home where prayer was a very familiar thing for me. I would probably describe it that the prayer life in our home was very functional. So we prayed before we ate anything. We sometimes prayed before we'd go on a long drive. I remember as a young man, about 4 or 5 years old, going to our farm in Namibia and hearing my grandfather pray. Now, when my grandfather prays, I remember even at age 4 or 5, it was difficult for me to stay awake because it went on for 20, 25 minutes, half an hour. But one thing that grasped my attention was his awe and reverence for God when he prayed. He'd use Afrikaans words that I've never heard anywhere else in my life to describe God. But it was a memory that I have. I remember at around age 20, starting to grow in my own relationship with God, and being asked, I think, by Justin for the very first time to pray publicly. I don't know if you can remember that day. And it was a group of about 40 campus students. And man, my palms were sweating. You know, all of a sudden my legs were shaking. It was like I forgot to speak English altogether. But I pushed through and I said my first public prayer. I remember around the same time having my first answered prayer. And I think I've shared this before about sort of the jam jar that was stuck, and my mom asked me to open it, and I tried and tried and tried, and I, for some inexplicable reason, I just couldn't do it, you know, which is amazing. And then I decided, let me test out this prayer, and I prayed, and literally as I touched the top, it popped off. Poof. I was like, no way, this is amazing. I remember going fishing with one of my friends a couple of weeks later, and you know, with this newfound faith in prayer, we were fishing the whole day and didn't catch anything. And then again, right before sunset, I said, Steve, and his name was Steve Vespri, why don't we pray? And literally, I kid you not, as I finished the prayer, a fish hooks on and he pulls it up. And I thought, this is amazing. I mean, this is like twice in 2 weeks. I remember praying for very important things. I remember at age 21 having my first all-night prayer. I remember even someone suggesting it to me, and I thought, geez, man, I battled the string like 20, 25 minutes together. Now you want me to pray all night? I'm not so sure about this, but I remember that night. I remember how we would go out, and it's cold, but you know, it's a group of 4 guys praying together, and just that morning, I mean, how rejuvenated we were praying to God. You know, I believe prayer is the greatest gift in the arsenal of the Christian. And I don't know what your thoughts are about prayer. I remember this very clearly as I started growing as a Christian. I thought to myself that prayer should probably come naturally. That somehow you just close your eyes and you sort of go for it and it will hit you. And then I stumbled upon what you guys looked at last week in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus was praying with his disciples. And after his prayer, his disciples were so amazed, they came to him and said, Teacher, teach us how to pray. Now that's an interesting question. And Jesus didn't say, no, I can't teach you how to pray. It comes automatically. Just close your eyes and go for it. He said, okay, I'll teach you. And that was so encouraging for me because I realized that I could actually grow in my prayer life. That this is something I could be trained in and taught in how to do it more effectively so that I can experience the intimacy with the Father that I so desperately wanted. Now, I don't know where you are this morning and what your thoughts are about prayer, but this series on simple prayer is all about helping you how to pray more effectively so that you can experience the intimacy you desire with the Father. See, I believe all of us want to grow in our prayer life, but oftentimes we get stuck in how do I do it? Now, last week, you guys spoke a little bit about that we need a plan. Right? We can't just sort of head out there and expect great things to happen. We need a plan for it. We need to have a time and we need to have a place. We need to have a time in our day where we dedicate and we decide whether it's 8 a.m. before your day starts or it's in the afternoon in your lunch break or in the evening, whatever it is, that you have a dedicated time. This is my time where I'm going to spend with God praying. And then also we need a place. You often see Jesus doing this, heading off to a solitary place where he prayed. But whether it is a park for you, maybe you're a walker, maybe you're a sitter, there's a place in your house where you can quiet yourself and pray. You need a time and you need a place. What we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be taking step two. And we're going to talk about using different prayer patterns. So often it is, sure, I have a time and a place now, but now I get out of my prayer life and what do I say? How do I go about this? And this morning I want to share with you four different patterns that you can use. These are not the only patterns, but I do think these might be some of the patterns that you can use in your prayer life that might help you tremendously. Have a look in Ephesians chapter 6. The first pattern that we're going to be talking about this morning is the believer's armor. In Ephesians chapter 6. And you know, if you study sort of Luke chapter 11, when Jesus' disciples came to him and said, teach us how to pray, really what he gave them in the Lord's Prayer was a prayer pattern. It wasn't a prayer that they needed to recite and memorize and say over and over again. It was a pattern to help them in how to pray. So we're going to look at some of those this morning. We're not going to do the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to take a look at some other ones. And we'll start off here in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, Paul ends off his letter to those in Ephesus, and what he says here is that we are in a spiritual battle. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this before, but I'm sure if you've been a disciple for a follower of Christ for any length of time, you have felt this. You know, a couple of months ago, I was sitting with one of the young men that I mentor, and about 2 or 3 months after he was baptized, he said to me, Jacques, why is this so hard? I thought when I come out of the waters of baptism, all temptations are going to be taken away, and it's just going to be great until the day that I die. You know, I looked at him, smiled, and said, but, you know, it is hard. It is still hard for me 13 years in. Yeah, because Paul says we are in a spiritual battle. And this battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against your husband or against your wife. You know, for the parents, it's not against your teenagers or your teenage kids. That's not where the battle is. For the teens, it's not your parents. It's not your boss. Or if you are a boss, your employees at work. That's not who the battle is against. The battle is against Satan and the dark forces of evil. And the amazing thing that Paul says here is we don't have to be overcome by these forces of evil. We can take our stand, but then we have to put on the full armor of God. And then he goes through 6 different parts of this armor. And I think this is a great prayer pattern that we can use to pray through. He starts off with the belt of truth, mentions the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if you dissect all of these, I think it might it might really help you to pray through all of them. And let's begin here with the belt of truth. You know, the purpose of the belt in the old Roman times for the Roman soldiers were really to tuck all loose hanging pieces of clothing into the belt, so that when they advance in battle, that they don't stumble and fall sort of on their garments hanging around. So the belt was really there to tuck those loose pieces of clothing in, and also to hold up the sword that you can obviously use in battle. And you know, same for us. If we want to avoid falling on our face spiritually, we need the belt of truth. And praying through that is, Jesus says that Satan is the father of all lies. And I don't know about you, but often my emotions and feelings correspond with the lies that Satan tells me. That you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not funny enough. You're not spiritual enough. Jacques, your biceps is not big enough. Surely not. That's what I say when that temptation comes up. But, you know, we get tempted. I mean, there's feelings and emotions where, God, I feel hopeless. I feel that the sin that I'm battling with, that I cannot overcome it. I don't have enough strength to do it. But then we need to put on the belt of truth. We need to say, Father, I know that these feelings and emotions that I have is incredibly strong, but I know they are not the truth. I know that the truth is that you love me as far as east is separated from west. I know that my identity is found in Christ. And that it doesn't matter what my work colleagues say or what my friends think, that, man, I am good enough. And that you send your son because I was good enough. That is the truth of the scriptures. And I know that the sin that I'm facing is incredibly difficult to overcome, but through Christ I can absolutely overcome it. You know, we need to battle our emotions and our feelings with putting on the belt of truth and praying through that. You know, the second piece of the armor here was the breastplate of righteousness. And that was really made up of metal pieces that stretched from the head down to the waist. And it was obviously there to guard the most vital organs of the soldier as he goes into battle. And if we want to protect our spiritual lives, we must cover ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what can that mean? It definitely means in our prayer to say, God, I know that I fall short of the glory of your glory. I know everybody does. I know no one meets up the standard, but I know that through your son going to the cross, I was made righteous. Now help me to act in accordance with the righteousness that I have already received through your son. Father, help me as I go through my day. I know what lies ahead. I know I'm going to sit in the meeting with that work colleague. It sometimes veers off in a different direction that we shouldn't go in. I know when I get home that, man, my wife's emotions might be all over the place, and I'm going to be tempted to act in an unrighteous way. Help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Help me to be more like your son today. We need to pray through the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the third element here is the shoes. It's almost kind of gospel shoes, or shoes fitted with the readiness of the gospel. And in Paul's day, the soldiers, the shoes and sandals that they wore had sort of little studs at the bottom of them, spikes that they could advance with in the battle, that they don't trip over it, that they have grip. And I believe for us as well, if we want to play the kingdom ball up the field, if we want to be the light city on the hill, our feet need to be fit with gospel shoes, ready to run into the battle. Now, how does that sound in prayer? Well, that sounds like a prayer in the morning is, God, help me as I go through my day that I can see the opportunities that you bring on my way to reach out to people that desperately need you. I don't know about you, but I go through my day not even seeing other people's needs. Often I'm so consumed with my life and I need to pray, God, help me. Help my feet to be ready when the opportunity comes up that I can share your gospel truth with them. Help me as well that when the opportunity comes up and I see it, that I have the faith and the courage required to open up my mouth. Because I know I'm going to be tempted. I know when I'm faced with the opportunity, I'm going to want to veer in a different direction, but help me. Let my feet be ready to play the kingdom ball up the field, to invite someone out of church or a Bible discussion or to study the Bible that they so desperately need in order to grow in their relationship with you. Now, the fourth one is the shield of faith. And for Roman soldiers, this shield was about the size of a small man, almost the size of man. Yeah, tough crowd. Yeah. Not my size, a little smaller than my size, but the size of a small man. I mean, about a meter and a half. So what it was used for, it was a wooden shield covered with leather. And that if they crouch behind it, that literally it can protect them against fiery darts or arrows or spears that the enemies throw at them. Now, isn't it so for us that as we go through life, we face the spears of discouragement, fiery darts of doubt? You know, and we need to protect ourselves with the shield of faith. And we need to pray, Father, I know I'm feeling discouraged right now, or discouragement's going to come my way, or criticism's going to come my way, or hardships are going to come my way. And often those hardships could either be because of something that we have done and we are suffering and facing the consequences of what we've decided. Or sometimes life is just tough. And we need to pray, God, help me to have the faith in order to endure it. Help me not to try and get out of it, but help me to endure it in the moment and put my full confidence and trust in you. Because I know I can. But I need the shield of faith. The next element here is the helmet of salvation. And this helmet was obviously there to cover the soldier's head. And you know, our minds and thoughts and attitudes should be protected by our salvation. You know, what does that mean? That means that when you and I became a Christian, we were forgiven completely. You became a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. That you received the gift of the Holy Spirit to reside in your heart, that now you can live with a full confidence and hope that when Jesus comes back, you'll be united with Him and the Father. You know, we pray for the helmet of salvation. We need to pray that God help those facts dominate my mind and my thoughts and my attitude today. Help me to put on the helmet of salvation of who I am in you and what I have received and I get to be a part of today. You know, the last part here that Paul closed out here, it says the word of the Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this was the only offensive piece in the armor that the soldier had that enabled him to attack the enemy. And we know that, you know, with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and other accounts in the Gospels as well, how he wielded his sword. That when temptations came up, he was able to use the word of God in order to fight off the attacks of Satan. But we need to pray through the word of God. You know, in Psalm 119 verse 18, and this is a prayer that I often use as I start my day or before I start my Bible study. It says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. What a great prayer. And Father, as I'm sitting down and I'm about to study my Bible, as I'm about to open it up, open my eyes. Open up my heart so that I can see wonderful things in your law. And when I see those wonderful things, help me not to remain on the page, but help me to take it to heart. And that as I go through my day, that I might be transformed through your word. And that when I get into situations, I might be reminded of certain scriptures so that I can fight off the temptations that's going to come my way. But that's a simple prayer. That's a prayer pattern, this believer's armor, the full armor of God that you and I can use to pray through. And maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't, but to give it a shot. Let's take a look at another one here. The second prayer pattern is the attributes of God. Who of us here feels like we have been in a praise rut before? Where you get out in your prayer and you want to praise God, but you sort of find yourself a couple of things in and then you kind of run out of things to say. Who's felt that before? All right. Or where you feel like you start praising God, but you're really saying the things that you said yesterday as well. And then you think, all right, let me focus on the things that I see. And you're like, God, thanks for the tree and the leaf and the bird eating the leaf on the tree. And you're going through it, but you're not connecting with it. And I've been there many, many times, right? Stuck in this praise right before when it comes to my prayer. And a couple of months ago, I was studying out some Psalms, and it's amazing to see how inspired the Psalm writers were with God and some of the prayer patterns they used. In Psalm 96, it won't come up. You can just make a note. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. How's that for an idea? He says, I don't want to sing the old songs and put that on repeat. I want to sing to you, Lord, a new song in my prayer life. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. I mean, later on in Psalm 145, it says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise and extol your name forever and ever. Now, that extol, I'm Afrikaans guy. I had to look that up when I studied this out. And it means either to admire, commend, or eulogize. How's that for a thought? To eulogize God. Because eulogy, what we normally do is it's said at someone's funeral, but it's we are listing the positive characteristics and the great attributes of the individual. We are praising the life that they used to live. And this is kind of the idea that the psalmist had when it comes to his prayer. He says, God, I want to eulogize you every day. That's a pretty cool idea. Now, what is a great thing that we can do in eulogizing God in our prayer? One of the best ways that we can do it is to use the alphabet, and maybe some of us have done this before, and to pray through God's attributes from A to Z. Okay, now let's give this a shot a little bit. Let's try it here. So you decide Monday morning, tomorrow morning, you're just going to praise God using the letter A. What comes to mind if you think about the attributes of God that starts with an A? Wait a minute. Attributes of God. What was it? Awesome. Okay, amazing. Yeah, almighty, ability, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, that's A. So use the letter A and you pray through the attributes of God using the letter A. And then the next day you can use B. I mean, what are some things that come to mind thinking about the letter B? Best friend. Best friend. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Brilliant. Yeah, B is a little tougher. Now, I've done this personally, and I've done it in a group. So last year, we go out with, we called it our roots group, great bunch of people, and we decide we're going to praise God through using the alphabet. And, you know, what happens is you're sitting in a circle of, we were about five or six, so you start counting. So I start with A, and then you count, B, C, D, E, F, G. So now you start thinking, okay, how can I praise God with G? And then you get to the business end of the alphabet with the X and the Zs. And then you start counting and you realize that the X is landing on me and you start praying about finding attributes to pray about. So those letters are a little bit tougher, but I think it's a great prayer pattern that we can use in order to praise God or to eulogize God in our prayer, is to use the alphabet and go through it. Now, if you don't watch out, it might sound something like this. Lord, I praise you for being faithful, for being familiar with suffering, for being my father, for being a fire, for being a fortress. I mean, that sounds like I'm reading a page out of the dictionary, right? Doesn't really seem very praisey, if that's the right word. So what can we do to make it more heartfelt praise? Have any of you ever heard of the word association game? Okay. So how it works is pretty simple. And I can give you a little bit of a test run. So I say a certain word, and then the first word that pops up in your mind, you say it. So let's say I were to say the word taxi drivers. What's the first word that pops into your mind? Love. Or maybe that was a bad example. I mean, I don't want anybody to sin in church and have to confess afterwards. So we'll park that one. I mean, let's take the city of Cape Town, all right? Praiseworthy city, absolutely. So, if I say Cape Town, what's the first thing that pops to your mind? Rain. All right, Table Mountain. Okay, let's take Table Mountain. So, now I say Table Mountain, what's the first thing that pops to your mind? Beautiful, or flat, or whatever it might be. So, you get the idea. That's the word association game. So, you say one word, and then you think of a related word. Now, let's go through how you can use this in this prayer pattern and your attributes with God. You know, Father, I thank you so much that you are faithful, that you are dependable, that you never change. I know everything else changes. I even know right now, I'm not sure whether I'm going to have a job in a couple of months or another contract in a couple of months. Everything else changes. People around me change. They disappoint me. But you never change. You are faithful all the time. You are dependable and trustworthy. Father, thank you for being familiar with suffering. We're still on F. You know what it's like being human. You send down your Son to experience everything that I experience right now. You know what it is to be tempted and to overcome the temptation. You are fully compassionate. You understand me full well. You are familiar with my suffering. Thank you so much for that. Father, thank you for being my Father. For having my back, for loving me unconditionally. As a father loves their children. God, and I know as a father for myself that I want what's best for my kids. I want to send them to the best schools. I want to help them to develop their talents in the best way possible. And I know that you are that kind of father. Thank you so much for that. Father, thank you for being a fire. You know, that you cleanse me with fire. That you refine me with fire to become more like your Son. And that one day I know that there will be an eternal fire that will wipe out all sin and all hurt and all pain, and everything will be restored exactly the way that you desire. Thank you for that. Thank you for being my fortress. It was a city in the ancient days, Father, where people could run to when they were falsely accused by something. It was a place of safety and security. Thank you for being my security. And again, I feel so insecure in my life. I'm not sure about myself, confident, but you are my fortress. Thank you so much for that. I think you guys get the idea. That it's using the alphabet, pray through the attributes of God, but it's using this word association game. So you pick a letter, play the word association game, and I do think it can really get you unstuck out of your prayer rut that you've been experiencing. Does that sound good? Amen. Let's move on to the third one. Another prayer pattern, just another one, is the fruit of the Spirit. Have a look in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, Paul sort of lays out the fruit of the Spirit here. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And this can be a great prayer pattern, again, that you can use in your prayer life. And you can use it in two different ways. One is, you can praise God for that specific fruit of the Spirit and how that fruit of the Spirit manifests in Him and in Jesus. Okay, so for example, it's very similar to the previous one, but let's take patience. Father, I thank you so much for how incredibly patient you are with me. You know that, I blow it. I didn't blow it before I became a Christian. I blew it today. I'm going to blow it today. And yet you remain incredibly patient with me. You don't treat me as my sins deserve. In actual fact, it says that you separate my sins as far as east is separate from west. You know, so you can praise God for that fruit of the Spirit. And then another way in which you can use it is to pray that God would instill that fruit of the Spirit in you and in your life. So the way that you can use that is, Father, I know that you are incredibly patient. Help me to be the same way today. Help me to be as patient as you are. Help me not to treat other people as their sins deserve, which I'm so often tempted to do. Help me to have the grace and the mercy that they need and that you've displayed in me. But help me to be as patient as you are and produce that in my life. Yeah, so this is again a prayer pattern that you can use of the fruits of the Spirit. One side to praise God for it, and the other side is, God, help me to become like you. Help for that love and that joy and that peace and that patience, faithfulness to manifest in my life as I've seen it in your heart. Let's close out with a fairly interesting one here. Body parts. Okay, Romans chapter 6. We'll do one more. All right, now this is, It's maybe sort of a little bit of a quirky or a cheesy one, but you'll see what I mean just now. And I think it can become a great prayer pattern that we can use to get ourselves unstuck in how we pray. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God and those who've been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness." So here's maybe a little bit of an interesting concept for you to toy with. What about praying through body parts? And the way that you can do it is, number one, to use it as a way to confess about how you've used some of your body parts in an unrighteous way, but then also to pray for God's guidance in using that body part, not for yourself, but also for Him and His service. So let me give you a couple of examples here. With eyes. Now, the Father, I know that, man, as I'm about to go through my day, or maybe you pray at night, that as I've gone through my day, that I've used my eyes for sinful purposes. I've looked at things that I shouldn't have. I've looked at people in a way that I shouldn't have. You know, but I want to pray, Father, help me that I can use my eyes and that I can see people as You see them. That I can see them as holy and blameless. That I can see them, through Your eyes. So please help me to use that part in order to bring glory to You today. What about our feet? Father, I've allowed my feet to take me to places where I should not have gone. But I pray that today that You will direct my path. That You will direct my feet. Help me to understand what Your will is. Help me to understand what Your direction is. And help my feet to be ready to walk in that direction. Help me to use that body part for Your glory, for Your purposes, and to share Your truth. What about our tongue? You know, God, I want to be open with the way that I used my tongue today. That I was standing at sort of the water fountain, and they started speaking about the boss in a gossip kind of way, and I knew that it was wrong in order to do that, but I joined in gossip. And I used my tongue to slander some of my work colleagues or my boss or friends that I have. I've used it in an unrighteous way, and I want to be open about that, Father. But I pray that You can help me to use my tongue for Your purposes. Help me to use my tongue in a way where I can build others up, where I can praise others, where I can sing Your praises, and I can use my tongue in a righteous way. I don't know about you, but this is one that I need to confess all the time, is how I use my tongue. Even this last week, sometimes I can be so incredibly insensitive. I remember as a young Christian, sometimes I would go out, on sort of encouraging times with some of the sisters in the church. And the whole aim is that you have sort of this planned time where you go out and you spend time with them, get to know them and encourage them. And then often in these times, I would decide, hey, look, you are my sister in Christ, so I'm going to be gut level honest with you. Yeah, look, you guys are clearly at a more mature level than what I was back then. But I would sit there and I would be completely open with all of my sin, everything that I've ever done, everything that I'm tempted to do, and this person and that person. And then I would sort of decide to use that opportunity to also, disciple her a little bit, correct, encourage. And what would often happen after these times is, I was discipled by Justin and Vanna, and I would get to my discipling time, a very zealous, ambitious young man, and I would sit down and they would say something like, "Bro, I just want to be clear whether I heard correctly." Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that when your discipling time starts in that way, and they say that you know that is not good. Yeah. And what would happen is the poor sister on this encouragement date or this encouragement time, in her gentleness, tried to help me to be more like Christ. But in my arrogance, I decided I'm not going to listen to her. And then she elevates the issue. And when I get to my discipling time, then all of a sudden there's crystal clarity about maybe I should not have done that. So I don't know, maybe you're in a bit of wicked, but I even know right now, in this last week, there were two incidences that I can think of where I was either sarcastic or I said something insensitive. And praying through the body parts is a great way in order to clear our hearts, saying, God, this is how I've used it. I want to be gut level honest. I am so sorry. I want to use it to go and mend this relationship right now. I want to be open. You know, the last one is our hands, or just another type of body part. Father, I've used my hands in expression of anger, and I've used my hands to accumulate the wealth of the world. I work so diligently with my hands to build my own kingdom. But when it comes to your kingdom, God, my hands are very lazy. All of a sudden, there's a little problem with my hands. And I want to be open about that, Father. I don't want to have expressions of anger in the traffic. I don't want to use my hands to build up my own kingdom. I want to use my hands to be diligent in building up your kingdom. For your renown, for your glory, I want to do it. It's a simple prayer. It's maybe something that you can use to spice up your prayer life. And there it is. There are the four possible prayer patterns that you can use. The believer's armor, or the full armor of God, to pray through that. The attributes of God using the alphabet and the word association game, the fruits of the Spirit and the body parts. And my hope is, that this morning, maybe tomorrow morning, you can decide which one resonates with you and just give it a go. Give it a bash. And I think it can really get you unstuck and help you to pray more effectively so that you can enjoy the intimacy with the Father that I desire and that you so greatly desire. Amen.